The drive is live. You hear Clint right there. Tyler is there. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can see our beautiful faces. Those of you on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans, we appreciate you joining us. You can obviously get involved in the show that way. A lot to get to as we'll dive in. It is Tuesday, so that means the tape drop.
That tape drop on
Tuesday, and I know that means you looked at some things. And right, this should be a much better tape drop Tuesday than the last 2 weeks, being that they were losses and they weren't necessarily losses in which, yo, the Texans played their ass off. Boy, they just ran up against a really good team. There were really, you know, poor, long, extended moments in these last two games. But this one, they got in that ass on the Cowboys, so this one should feel good. So it's a little tape drop Tuesday. By the way, we'll get any of the injury stuff, except Christian Harris, I'm sure of it. We'll get any of the injury stuff passed along to you as they get ready in a short week to play the Titans coming up on Sunday. But, Clint, the tape drop, it is Wednesday. That's right. But you know how you got to move it down the rest of the week. They played Monday. You got to move it down. It is Wednesday. But what did you see? What did you see from the tape down to the all 22?
Well, I want to start with, and I meant to get this posted right before the show, but I hadn't posted it yet. Stay tuned. At Clint Sterner, I will have it posted on Twitter and Instagram here shortly. There, it just happens to be, Ron, that the Texans ran a screen in the first series to Nico Collins, which went, what was it, 77 yards for a touchdown. And then, the minute that the Cowboys get the football, I believe they ran it on first down, and they threw CeeDee Lamb a screen out wide. A little different design. I would urge folks to go back and look at it and appreciate Bobby Slowick adding kind of some layers to his screen, because that's actually what allows his to go the distance and what really make CeeDee Lamb work for the yardage that he got. But in those two plays, if you look at how each defense played the screen, because screens are one reason why I love screens is it's all about alignment, assignment, executing, being physical, being violent, tackling well. Like you, when you run screen, I'm talking about wider screens, like whether it's tight ends or running backs or wide receivers. When you run those screens, man, the pursuit drill, the swarm drill, that like it forces guys, multiple guys, to execute them. And if you're good in the screen game and you can do it 10 times a game, it's very, very taxing. And for the sake of this segment, and the point I'm trying to make is it's very revealing, if you will. Like this is the reason that the Texans skull drug, whooped the ass of, made them like it, the Dallas Cowboys. The reason why the Texans whooped that ass is evident in these two screens, the way each team defended the screen. You can look, you watch the screen to Nico Collins and Diggs, their corner, $136 million, I believe, he signed a deal. He comes down and he's obviously got outside.
Well, that was unnecessary.
Well, I'm just telling you. People want to talk about him being in a club filming a video. I'd have hell with that. I'm worried about this right here. $136 million. Soft coverage. He runs down and he makes sure he's on that outside shoulder of that receiver, and he just kind of eases in and locks arms with him, kind of just stands there. I mean, arrives with zero violence, zero physicality. It's embarrassing. And then you flip over and you watch the CeeDee Lamb. And a little different scheme, but our number one corner's out there, Derek Stingley Jr. And he fights his outside containment, same thing, but he arrives with some violence. He plays with some physicality and forces the receiver to actually block him instead of stand there, and gets a hand in on the play, forces the run back, does some really good things. But just the arrival, just the physicality, the habits that those two individuals created, you can see why one team got their ass whooped and why one team is underperforming this year right there. You can see it in that. And then you go back, rewind that sucker. Go back and look at how Jalen Petrie, who obviously is a nickel defender, but he's playing at linebacker level. He's playing one of the linebacker spots. Watch how he fights through. Now, he misses the tackle, but watch the effort, the energy, and the violence he's trying to deliver. And then go back and watch number 50, a linebacker for the Cowboys. Don't know who he is. Number 50. It is a piss-poor effort. It's late recognition. It's jogging after the ball. It's awful, right? Go ahead and rewind that sucker one more time and watch 55, because 55 this week had him a game, Ron. Had him a game now. Danielle Hunter. Backside of the screen to CeeDee Lamb, chases that sucker down, and he's all out. Wish you would try to block me, right? And then take your pick. Take your pick of anybody else in the box for the Cowboys, and you rewind it. Nobody.
11 wouldn't.
No, 11 is washed up and just quits because it's a run his direction. We play action, so it's a little different first couple of steps. For they didn't play action. They just threw it out wide. So where you got, like, our defensive line is starting a pass rush and then chasing. They were defending the run and then chasing. 11 just quit. We can pick 11 if you want to. 11's play side. He gets caught up in the play action and just literally quits. Doesn't even chase the play. Right? Go back and watch 55 for us. And 55 is literally running at a pace with his big ass of ain't nobody on a 3-win football team is going to want to get in his way. But you watch how the two defenses defended that screen, because again, it takes the right habits being instilled in your team. It takes the right want to, the right physicality, the right, like, whatever you are when you're on the backside of a screen, or you're in center field and you're coming down to play a screen, or you're a corner that's soft and you're coming down to play a screen, like, whatever you are is going to get exposed in that moment. And the Dallas Cowboys, you can pick player after player after player that half-asses, that doesn't want physicality, that is nowhere remotely close to playing the game violently, that is not hustling, they're not even trying to fake it anymore. And then you flip and watch the Texans, and it's all out, just empty the clip, empty the tank. And that right there is very indicative of the difference in the two teams. One of them is full of a bunch of dudes that have loser habits. And one of them, although it's been ugly for a couple weeks, especially on the defense side of the football, you've got guys that are playing the game the right way. One team is poorly coached. One team is very well coached.
And that's the crazy thing is the Texans are the team, even with some of their injuries, are the team that clearly has the more talent. And when you mix the talent and, you know, the want to compare to the other team that's not as talented and – they got a lot of guys that you would think that are filling in that should be, like, I'm trying to make a name, that they're not. And you mix that, you know, you get what you see. Like we said yesterday, they are on two different levels.
Yeah.
Like, they're not even playing the same game.
That's a great point. Like, you got dudes like you got backups in with the Cowboys on some of these spots, and they just half-ass. They're not even – like the way that, but it's not surprising because it's what the veterans do. The way Diggs ran up there, he ran up there and played like literally, it was almost like he positioned himself to be blocked and then didn't fight the block. I want everybody to know I got contained. I ain't letting him get to the sideline, y'all, but I ain't doing nothing else. I'm talking about Ron. He didn't even, if he wouldn't have reached his arms out and grabbed, I can't remember which receiver was blocking him. He wouldn't have reached it. He wouldn't have touched the DB. He wouldn't have touched the receiver. I mean, but that's the difference in these two. You can win, I'll be honest with you, you can win 4, 5, 6 games. Hell, you can win 8 games with that mentality right there. You can't compete. So that I think was just an overall, it was crazy because in the first drive of both teams' first possession, you had similar plays that were defended just totally different, and it's very indicative of how the rest of the game went. Now, we'll get into some X's and O's real quick. One thing, Ron, now I don't want to oversell this because it was the Cowboys, and they are Laney poo-poo soft. In other words, baby poo-poo soft. Wow. I don't know how Mike Zimmer watches it and doesn't rip, just cut guys right there in the moment.
Oh, my God.
The O-line, though. The O-line with Jarrett Patterson at center and Juice Scruggs at guard. Obviously was better. But Ron, I'm going to tell you, their double teams specifically, like if you go back and watch this game and just watch a handful of really good double teams when Mixon is running wild, and then you go back and watch 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, go back and watch it again, like it's crazy to think it's the same team. Like I would be willing to bet you that offensively, I don't know who did it, but somebody changed the way that they double team. I mean, it was two dudes. It's like they went from, hey, we're good enough to handle one-on-one. You, whoever's uncovered, just get to the second level and block. I don't even care if they're going to split you. Just get to the second level. They went from that to going, hey, I don't give a damn if you get to the second level. You get movement on this down D tackle. And they got, I'm talking about Tunsil and Juice had a nice one. Jarrett Patterson had a nice one with Scruggs and another one with Shaq. I mean, there were several double teams where you're like, that right there is how it's supposed to happen. I mean, it was nice. And my man 87, he's coming, man. Hey, look, Cade Stover, that level of physicality, if that starts to translate with the offensive line doing some physical things, it could be nice. Again, don't want to oversell it because it is the Cowboys and they are pissy poe, but there is no doubt about it. It was
quick-ass Cowboys.
It was really good. I'd put it to you this way. If the Texans can get that level of work, not only they're going to get that level of work versus the Titans because they're pretty damn good up front, but if they can get that level of work.
But it'll be a sign, though.
Yes. That's my point. If you can go out and basically get an inter-squad scrimmage against the Cowboys and get that level of work, you should be better against the Titans. You should be better against the Jacksonville Jaguars. If they are going to attack their double teams the way they did in Week 11, Ron, we could see some major improvement because that has not been present in their double teams leading up to this.
That text line taking cheap shots here. Is that why Dalton Schultz plays the way he does? Come on, guys.
Soft as hell.
Oh, no, look,
describe the Cowboys. But come on, man.
But it would not.
There was no reason for Dalton.
Three years? 3 years in the Cowboys organization, it doesn't spike. Hell, you see,
he ran right past 24 on that third too. Boy,
did you see? Hell, it's littered throughout. It's somebody else's fault.
What? Is somebody that third and two, Dalton? Listen, I ain't gonna put that on you, Dalton. All right, I mean there's some similarities, but I ain't gonna put that on you, Dalton.
Dalton Schultz is looking to not hit somebody.
My man came on that third and two, had 24 lined up right in front of him, bypassed 24. To get to the guy on the next level, and he didn't get him either.
He didn't get him either.
But then he got down. Clearly, somebody was going off from the sideline because he reacted to what?
Trey does when you catch him doing something. Like, hey, the other part of this thing, Ron, is. By the way, on that front with Dalton Schultz, all joking aside, I don't doubt that he wasn't shaped in Dallas when he was there. Hell, Gilmore, the corner that spent time there.
Devon.
I mean, he was in New England before winning, went to Dallas for a year or two, and now where is he now?
I think he's in Minnesota.
Wherever he was or wherever he is now, he's on record of saying it's nice to be somewhere where they take it seriously, they work hard, where the guys are coachable. And it's no secret, especially after watching that film, that he was definitely talking about his time with the Cowboys.
Wow,
guys not
dude.
Being coachable, guys being soft, guys not playing hard, guys not hustling. It's clear what he was talking about. But here's my last one. Tape drop Tuesday. I know it's Wednesday, but it's a tape drop Tuesday after a Monday night game. And we're gonna dig deeper into this, Ron, because I built a little something for us. But Damian Pierce had one carry, y'all, in a game where. In a game where, now I'm glad because I bet Joe Mixon over yardage, but Joe Mixon shouldn't have been in that game with a 3-score lead and 6 minutes left, and they're trying to run the clock out. It's just an example, right? Right? I mean, just like that should have been. Like Joe Mixon, and I'm going to give you all some numbers later in the show. Like what they do with Joe Mixon moving forward has to be a focal point. The number one priority offensively, if we're being completely honest. I'm talking about like they can control, not things they have to fix, but things that they control. Damian Pierce's one carry was awful. The O-line had push. The backside O-line picked up their guys. If he reads that and does the Joe Mixon, not full cutback, but kind of fade back, he might break that thing to the house. He's definitely going to get a chunk. And he just runs right up in the ass of the right guard, right tackle, and literally just runs into nothing and falls down. We don't like that. Like, I am the topic of what do you do with Joe Mixon. He can't keep running at the pace he's running at. You can't do it. Not if you're going to be a playoff team and be a serious contender. Can't do it. But every time you put Damian Pierce in, this is what you get. It can't. And it was one carry. I know I'm taking a huge leap here, but gosh dang, man, it was rough. And I'm going to be honest.
Got a good 2 yards off of it, I believe?
But Ron, he should have been 5 untouched. And the only reason that, like, Stover ends up getting beat by the guy he was blocking backside, it was a split zone concept, I believe, or full zone. No, it was a weak side full zone. and the tight end was backside, and he's cutting off an either an end or an out. The only reason that guy got loose is because you asked over to block him for so damn long. If you'd have hit it the way Mixon hits it, he'd have never been a factor. And I'm not asking him to be Mixon. I'm just saying, you know, he clearly didn't even read the cutback. He didn't. He just ran up there and stuffed his head. I only say that not to pick on Pierce, but I only say that because of what's going on. What's gone on to this point is I don't know how they continue without spelling Mixon a little bit.
Well, clearly they saw something there, maybe what you saw, and said, "Well, that's it."
Yeah, because 33 was in the rest of the time.
Yeah, I mean, well, but neither one of them had another carry.
Yeah.
Grab some pine, Damien.
Damien had his one carry for 2 yards. Dare, you know, had a catch, but he did it. They said that was it.
That's the deal. Dare's not it. I mean, I love Dare Gumbawale. He's a nice. If you want to keep him in as a little third down, a little trusty third down back, cool. I'm good. He had a nice little screen catch, made a shifty little move, and went and almost got the first down. Allowed you to get in position, go for it on fourth down.
Great special teams guy.
Yeah. And I'm great special teams guy. And I'm good if you want to make him a little third down back. I'm cool with that. A little trusty guy. I'm cool with that.
As a side note, as you continue, Cam Akers had a touchdown.
Did he
for the Vikings?
Yeah, he did. I saw that.
I don't know why it doesn't shock me one bit. But they're.
Catch.
Texans legend.
I'm not opposed over the next 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, however many you want. I'm not opposed to seeing a little more J.J. Taylor. What we've seen in a football game from J.J. Taylor.
You've seen enough from Damien.
Yes. Where's British Brooks?
Yeah, we just don't have. British Brooks. He's hurt, Chief. We just ain't got time. Like there are a hand. Like, there was a sense of urgency for Bobby Slowick to get away from this bullheaded aggressive stuff. There's a sense of urgency for C.J. Stroud to get to playing a better brand of quarterback and closer to what he was doing last year than what he was doing early this year, and protect himself and protect his offensive line. A sense of urgency. Right now, that team seems to be trending in the right direction. With this particular team, right now the priority has to be, what are you going to do at the running back position beyond Joe Mixon? That has to be, Ron. You got Nico back. Mechie seems to be coming. You know, you got your tight end situation. Brevin Jordan's gone, but you got your tight end situation. You seem to have it figured out with a little more physical brand with 85 and 87. And then when you want to throw it, 86 is in there. Defensively, you're starting to get some guys back, and you get some guys healthy. And you know, the injuries you can't. What you can control offensively, and what your focus has to be, is how do we solve the rate in which we're having to lean into Joe Mixon.
And you think they've given Damien enough opportunity?
Yeah, it's not going to change. You don't.
I know he's been hurt a lot, but you think he's gotten it. Like, he gets one carry like that, you know, and he didn't see the hole. It was that bad to a point where you're like, I don't even need.
But
to see it
worse
anymore.
Than not seeing the
and
hole.
And I understand there's more from
like
years
it's
past,
it's but. A zone scheme, and they are clearly over pursuing, and we're getting pushed. This was a Ron. I don't want to put myself in the same category as Damien Pierce, but I'm pretty sure I would have caught the cutback. I don't know if my fat ass is fast enough to get there, but I'd have seen the cutback and I tried to get there. He didn't see it. He buried his head in the tail end of the line on the right side. Like, that was bad. It was bad, man. To your point, it doesn't, like, in the game, I'm sitting there going, why is Damien Pierce not in the damn game? What are we doing? After watching that play, I know exactly why he wasn't in the game. I know exactly why he wasn't in the game. They legitimately wanted to give themselves a chance to put a knee in it, to score and make it 34-10, or put a knee in it and end the game right there. They couldn't afford to do that with Damien Pierce. They got to figure out what they're going to do. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing a little more J.J. Taylor.
Might. I mean, if he gets one carry and that's it, you might see a little bit more of J.J. Taylor. All right, coming up, we look to carry D'Amico Ryan's live for you. So we're hoping to hear from him coming up in the next segment. So stay tuned for that. And some news, some really good news coming out of practice today for your Houston Texans. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we are awaiting to hear from the head coach, which we will carry live right here on The Drive on Sports Radio 610. Tyler has...
D'Amico?
Yeah, a little D'Amico. Tyler has the feed, and he'll let us know as soon as D'Amico gets going, so we'll let you hear that coming up.
If anybody's wondering, I'm cool with Happy D'Amico today.
You all right with that? You all good with you all right in an upbeat with the
D'Amico? You get a convincing W, play the ball the way you're supposed to play. Your offensive line and your offensive unit was more physical than they have been all year long, and you're on a short week.
Would you be okay with the mistakes, D'Amico?
Oh, I'll always be okay with that. I would always be okay with that. I'd always be okay with, hey, whatever we did last week, man, we got to get that physicality back. We got to match that kind of intensity. We got to match that kind of work. Yeah, I would always be okay with that. But the head coach, you know, enjoying that win, and he should be proud of what his team put out there, and him communicating that, I'd be cool with.
Yeah. So we're waiting for that. Before he joins us, a little news. This is good news, definitely for the Texans. Their Pro Bowl defensive end, Will Anderson Jr., who has missed the last couple of games, he is back at practice.
Yes! There's
photos, videos of him back at practice, moving around in pads already, and that's big because this is the first practice of the week, obviously. And he is at practice. No understanding if he'll play or not. I'm sure D'Amico will get asked about that, and we'll hear what his answer will be on that. I'm sure it'll be something vague, not to give it away for, I would think, the Titans. Or, hell, they may just not know yet. But that's good to hear. I think the first thing that comes to my mind when I look at this and see that Will Anderson is coming back is the thought is they are definitely okay with saying, hey, man, if you're not quite ready, chill.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're good. Like, Nico was like, hey, man, come on. Come on, Nico.
We need you.
Boy, come on. Come on, Nico.
I think they were in chill mode until Diggs went down. And then it was like, whoa, hey, hold on.
Man, let's speed this up. Aziz Alshire, hey, come on, baby. Come on, baby.
We can speed this
so
up.
So use you. Hey, Jimmy, get right. Just get right.
Hey, Joe, come on back from that
But
ankle.
It's crazy. This has been, yeah, get on back, Joe. This has been their best defensive player, most consistent defensive player. And what we've seen is they've been able to more than survive without him. Each person, and it wasn't even Danielle Hunter, has forced turnovers with their pass rush. Barnett forced one last week and scored. And then the week before that, D'Amico Autry forced one of the many on Jared Goff. So they do need him back. Obviously, you're at complete full strength, and you got your best defensive player this year back. But the big thing to me is they have more than survived without him. That position, that group, has really held its own.
Yeah, look, I think there's something there, Ron, and maybe we talk about this when we got a little bit more time down the road, but there's something there about what D'Amico and Nick Caserio have done. Now, we can talk about the decisions they've made leading up to with the tackles and some of the different highly paid guys that aren't necessarily performing as well as you would hope and leading as well as you would hope they would. But, boy, the depth and how well that depth has played at multiple positions, you got to tip your cap to Nick Caserio and D'Amico Rines. And it's nowhere is it more evident than the defensive end, the edge rusher position for this football team. You got obviously some absolute game changers, arguably the best 1-2 tandem in the game with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. And then you've got some old heads that come in behind him and just flat out make plays. And then you've got one double digit sack guy that can play inside or outside, is comfortable doing that in passing situations. So they're locked and loaded at the edge rusher position. So good to have Will Anderson back, because he is the impact player, the game changer, whether it's a run heavy team or a pass first team. Good to have him back, but yeah, there's plenty of depth there.
I kind of want to see and whenever he does return again, I think it is a good sign that it is practicing the first day in full pads, mm-hmm. that they can practice, but it doesn't necessarily mean he will play. We've seen them wait a week. We watched them wait a week with Nico Collins. We watched them do it with Joe Mixon. But I am really intrigued, Clint, to be able to actually see for the first time what the plan was. What the plan was, the thinking was, we got Will. We got D'Amico Autry. We got Mario Edwards Jr. We got all of these guys here, and there was some sort of a plan that they had in mind. Is D'Amico going to play inside more? Is it like this will be the first time they've had all of those guys across the D-line in together. Because we watched it. It was like, dang, no, Barnett was pretty good. They brought him back, and they added D'Amico Autry. I mean, they gave them their four deep at the DN position. But we immediately said, oh, the versatility – position versatility of Danico Autry. Well, then he was popped for the first six games. Mario Edwards stepped up. Then he was popped, and they didn't play at the same time. That will be one to see what the plan is with all of those defensive linemen, to see how much Autry plays inside or outside, or to see that changed because of the play of Edwards Jr. I am intrigued to see what that looks like with the Texans, because we haven't been able to see them have all of those guys up front at full strength. Hell, 72 was still in there getting time.
Getting run. Yeah, look, I don't know. You know, I think for me, it's definitely changed in my eyes simply because the guys that they do have inside there, Foley Fatakasi, Tim Settle, you mentioned Mario Edwards, that, you know, those guys have played really well, not just held up against the run, but those guys have, hell, they from the inside, they've gone and got sacks. And so, you know, when you look at the Texans as an overall unit, as an overall team, I don't know that there's really a need where I thought there was going to be a desperate need to get him inside, to get an inside presence out of Danico Autry. And I don't know that need is still there. I don't know that need is still as desperate. You know, you can look at this schedule, and there's been the Detroit game. I'll go ahead and throw the both Indy games in there, just because they're you know, bigger, more physical offensive line. Buffalo, Green Bay. You know, there's been four or five games this year. When I know those, with the exception of Detroit, those aren't the you know, it's not going to be what Baltimore's going to bring to the table in terms of run game and physicality. But those guys have held their own in about four or five games that I expected the interior defensive line to cave a bit.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They held their own in the pass game. They've rushed the passer effectively from the inside. I wonder personally how much of a need is it anymore with all the guys healthy inside. How much of a need is it anymore to have Danico Autry in there?
Yeah, but you want to get him some run.
Sure. Right? Absolutely.
But you also don't want to take Will and Hunter off the field if they're healthy. All right, let's grab a break here, and we will get you right to D'Amico Ryans. As soon as he speaks, we will go right back there and have him and have the coach for you to listen to that live coming up. So we'll do that coming up. D'Amico Ryans will be talking to the media.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, let's head out to NRG and hear from the head coach, D'Amico Ryan.
It's really good to get Will back. We've been missing him the past couple weeks. Just, you know, just his leadership style, his play style, his demeanor all around. Just missed his leadership. So it's good to have him back out at practice.
What are some of the things you've seen after watching the film, Monday night's film?
Yeah, I thought our guys, again, did a good job of just competing and finishing in the second half. That's a point of emphasis for us, and that won't change moving forward. Like, for us to continue to grow and become a really good team, we have to finish games in the second half. So I'm most proud of our guys about that. That didn't change from watching the film.
What about Tennessee's defense stands out to you?
With Tennessee, their defense, you know, it stands out starting up front with Simmons and Sweat. Like, two big players that are hard to move. They make it difficult, very difficult to run the ball against them because they do such a great job of controlling the line of scrimmage, and they're two guys who are really hard to displace just because of their size and their power. So that is the focal point for us, is how do we handle right their defensive line, because that is their strength right now. And they do a really good job on, you know, third down, playing tight coverage, forcing you to make plays. I think they're just really – they're in sync. They're coached really well. Their guys play hard. It's going to be a really tough defense to go against. They do a really good job, just not only schematically, but also just the way that they're – in the style that they play. They play an aggressive style of defense, and it's challenged a lot of people, and it's going to be a challenge for us.
Since you've been a coach dating back to 2017, outside like a couple of years with the Niners, you guys finished strong at the end of the year and were able to, you know, win some playoff games and things of that nature. And last year, you guys did that also. What did you learn throughout that stretch of coaching to where guys are and the team's able to get better as the year goes on, and you implemented that last year, how do you implement that again this year?
Yeah, for me, it's any season, right? It's all about, you know, hitting your stride at the right moment of the season, and that's down the stretch, right? When games become a lot more impactful, a lot more meaningful, like the focus has to heighten. Guys just have to be more locked in. Like, the margin for error really shrinks. So it's just being on the details, really, you know, coaches, players, everybody being dialed in of not getting complacent, but it's a matter of, at this moment of the season, like, it's about growing and getting better. So it's always at the forefront of my mind, always speaking that, preaching that to the guys about not letting the smallest detail slip, because in these games, more important to get it, everybody knows what you're doing schematically. Like, you have a full season, full body of work. The film is there for people to watch. Now it's about how on the details are you? How are you on executing your job to the best of your ability? Even if they know what you're doing, can you still out-execute your opponent and go make the play?
You feel like you're right there, hitting that stride that you're talking about, or what would you like to see in order to be there?
Yeah, we're growing. We took a step last week, and we'll look to take a step this week. So we're growing in the right direction as a team.
With Derek Stingley, last year early in the season, he kind of said, you know, we don't typically have corners shadow top receivers. And then against Amari Cooper in the playoffs, he shadowed him and did a good job, and he did a good job against CD. What is the process to earn that type of trust to where you basically say, you line up a bit against their best guy, and we're relying on you to take him out?
Yeah, for me, it's all game plan specific. I don't get into game plan specifics of what we're doing. We're on a week-to-week basis, it always changes. So there are no absolutes on how we deploy our guys on defense. Stingley has done a great job with everything that we've asked him to do. He's continued to grow, you know, as a player, made a lot of big-time plays for us, and I look for Stingley to continue to do that. He's gained a lot of trust in everybody just by showing up each and every week, and when there is a quote-unquote difficult matchup, like, he, you know, he thrives in those moments no matter who he's going against. So you have a corner who has that mentality, not only him, but with the mentality of Stingley, and also the mentality of Kamari, like, two really good young corners, right, who will line up and play against anybody.
When it comes to the meetings, you're watching and replaying Daniel Hunter plays, what are some of the things that come to mind about the sophistication, the level of moves, the athleticism, all those things?
The thing that shows up with D. Hunter is just the persistence. Like, he's getting after it, right? With everything that he has, like, of course, he has a lot of different moves there, but whatever else, I tell him, whatever it takes to get to the quarterback, just want him moving forward and being persistent, and he's done that time and time again right now. I think he leads the league in pressures. He's been around the quarterback a lot and is finishing a lot more as well. So really proud of just his work, his body of work. You know, he's done that when he was in Minnesota, and it's showing up again here.
A lot of the top teams obviously run the ball really well, and I see you all have done a good job with Joe Mixon. But as a defensive play caller, have you noticed at all, like, a shift from last year to this year, and how teams, I guess, focus more on the run at all? Is that noticeable at all as a defensive play caller?
From my perspective of focusing on the run?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm understanding your question, but I'm sorry.
No, I was just wondering if, like, teams are more around the league this year are emphasizing to run more, to have more effectiveness in the offense. Like, I look at, like, teams like Derrick Henry, the Ravens, Derrick Henry, Eagles, Saquon Barkley, even y'all. Our teams, has there been a shift this year?
I mean, I don't know particularly if there's been a huge shift in the run game. I think every offensive coordinator, no matter how much you throw it, every offensive coordinator wants to run the football, right? That's how you win games, by running the football, right? And score points, you throw the ball. So that philosophy, I don't think it changes from anyone's perspective around the league. I think guys have had a little more success running the football in the league. Maybe it's the, you know, seeing more of the shell coverage or a lot more lighter boxes where guys have had success running the football. So not sure what the, you know, how to credit the uptick in the run game.
Follow up on that. How much, from your perspective, what's the kind of like that balance of, you've seen a lot too high and you want to continue to run the rock, but, you know, there's time for you defense do have to drop back to pass. It's kind of like that balance of not over running the ball against those two highlights. Because as you, as a defense coordinator, know, like, you guys usually are okay with guys marching down the field because eventually they have to make a throw to get in the end zone. And, you know, you guys kind of with the bend, don't break. So what's kind of that balance from your perspective of when you're seeing that too high, still trying to find a way to, you know, mix the pass in there?
Yeah, I think it's all just – it's a feel for the game and, you know, what are you getting in those looks. A lot of looks are disguises where they're dropping down in eight-man boxes as well. So it's just a matter of, you know, are you being effective in running the football, right? And if you are effective, no matter what the defense is, you just stay with it, right? And I truly believe, and that's how you, you know, break a defense, by being able to run the football and throwing it when you have to. So and guys being able to make those plays consistently in the passing game when those opportunities do present themselves, when people want to play heavy in the box, now can you really maximize the opportunity of taking the shot plays?
If I had told you back in training camp that at this point of the season, Tim Settle will be third in the team in sacks, what would you have said? And to that point, how much of an asset has he been to you guys since he's come?
Yeah, I mean, I would not be surprised by that. You know, Tim has... He's still a young player, even though he's been around in the league for a while. He's still a young player, providing a lot of energy, a lot of juice. And I think Tim has benefited from doing what we were asking him to do schematically, like just attacking. Tim is one of our smartest players on defense. So he does a good job of being exactly where he's supposed to be, understanding schemes and making the plays that he's supposed to make. He's not pressing to make plays. He's just executing the defense, right, attacking, playing our brand of ball, and he's benefiting by making those plays just by executing.
To that point, you say he's one of the smartest guys on the defense. How have you kind of seen that intelligence pop up?
Yeah, when it comes to stunts and games, those things, when we need to change things, the communication amongst the D-line, you know, Tim is a very, you know, vital part to that.
The mix and impact, it seems like, and he has said, you know, when he was selected a captain, that it meant a lot to him. As someone who has the nickname Cap and has been a captain before, what extra responsibility, what's it like when you're trusted to be a captain in a locker room?
Well, it just shows that your peers, it shows the respect that they have for you, first and foremost. And, you know, it doesn't change anything responsibility-wise. It's just a matter of you continuing to going out and being the same guy you are. And most of the time for me, captains is about what you show on the field, not what you say. You know, being a captain doesn't mean you have to, you know, break down more huddles or have more meetings. It's just about going out and continuing to show people why you're the leader by the work that you put in. And that's what Joe did before he was a captain. He showed that by his work, and all of our guys in the locker room respect Joe for how he shows up, not only on game day, but each and every day in practice, the energy he brings, uplifting everybody on our team. Everybody respects that. Everybody sees it. So it's easy to see why he's a captain. He's a guy that guys would like to follow or should follow. If you're a young player trying to figure it out, you just watch Joe practice, and that's how it should look.
Devin White was on the field quite a bit against the Cowboys, and we saw Henry not get as many defensive snaps as he did, you know, in previous games. Just what went into the usage of your linebackers?
Right? Yeah, we're just moving guys around. Different guys got some reps.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, there as he speaks to the media, and we carry that live for you right here on The Drive Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up as we continue rolling through this three game stretch, starting with the game against the Cowboys and then the Titans and the Jags. What do we do with this stretch with the Texans? We'll discuss that coming up next.